Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another,
that your joy may be full." And he said in another place, "This is how men will know that ye are my disciples, in that ye have love one for another." Another place, the Apostle John tells us that if you cannot love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? And so to be able to say, "Oh, I love God. Oh, I love him with all of my heart." But to not to love our brothers or our sisters is to make the word of God a mockery. He says, how can you love God whom you have not seen if you can't love your brother whom you have? Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. Today is rut-breaking day. Do you know what I mean by rut-breaking?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anybody here live on a dirt road? A couple of you do. You know what happens on a dirt road in the wintertime when you begin to get a rut in it? If you continue to drive in that same rut, you know what happens to it? It gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The first thing you know, the rut is so deep that that's all there is to the road. That there's no way for you to go on that road except in that rut. And if you're going down that road, you have to go into the rut. And as the rut gets deeper and deeper and deeper, first thing you know, you can't even get down the road. Because as your wheels drop into the rut, the earth that's in the middle, you know what happens is it makes contact with the body of your car, and you can't get down that road. And if we've learned one thing, it's that God is not going to let the ruts in our roads get very deep. Because he's not going to have us stalled halfway down his dirt road. So today is rut-breaking day. All right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Before we begin to minister, I want us just to agree in prayer together. If you found Matthew 16, just hold your finger there and just close your eyes and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word is the truth. We acknowledge, Father, that as we minister from the word today, as we share it, as we expound it, that every word that you've uttered in this book is God-breathed. It's all come from you. And that you did not put any of it down idly or without purpose or intent, but that you had a specific intention, a specific purpose in putting each passage, each word, each phrase down. You've said in this book that every jot and every tittle of this word shall be fulfilled, and not a single part of it shall ever fail or fall. That while heaven and earth may pass away and all that's in them, that not a single part, not a tittle of this word shall ever fall or fail. And we acknowledge this morning, Father, that as we minister the word, as we hear it, that it is profitable and beneficial for us, that it will equip us and strengthen us, it will nourish us, it will give us food that is fit for our spirit man. We thank you, Father, for the new birth, that you have made us to be new creatures, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And because of that, our Father, and because of your Spirit and the anointing of him that dwells in us, we can receive your word, we can nourish upon it and feed upon it, and it will do that which you have purposed in our lives. I thank you, Father, for the anointing that is on me as a preacher of the word of God. I know it is your anointing, and my prayer this morning, Father, is that that anointing will live big on the inside of me to cause this word to come forth in power and in clarity. I thank you, Father, for that which you're going to bring forth through me today, because it's your word, not mine. And I pray also, Father, for this people, that you would cause their ears to be opened and their eyes to be opened, that you would cause their hearts to be opened and the light of the illumination of your word would come brightly inside this morning. that we might know the hope of our calling and we might see the riches of the inheritance of the saints of God, that we might know today, Father, what you have richly given us in Christ Jesus, that we might catch more of a glimpse and have a better vision of who we are in Christ Jesus and what you've done for us. We want to walk worthy of that which you have called us. We want to walk in the fullness of that which you have declared we are as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And so we ask our Father that every ear and heart would be open to receive your word, and that you would cause by your Spirit each word to take root in fertile hearts and cause much fruit to be born. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I don't know about you, but as I was raised, and you may have had this same experience, you may even know some people like this today. I was raised with a feeling that the church was likely one of the weakest and most insignificant of man's institutions. That the church didn't really have any ability to make any difference in the world today. And it seemed that every time I went to church, with that feeling on the inside of me, other friends, you know how young people are and kids are? Now they talk about sissies go to church. It's only sissies and square people that go to church. I know many men today who will not darken the door of a church because they think it's for sissies, squares, women, old people, and fruitcakes. And they wouldn't be caught dead inside a church. I guess that's one of the greatest lies that the devil has ever perpetrated. But you know, as I was growing up, every Sunday I would go to church, the church seemed to perpetuate that lie. Because I never saw God do anything. I never saw any power in the church. I never saw any real joy. I never saw any ability to change things. All I ever saw was, well, it'll be better in the by and by. Well, it'll be okay one day. Well, it must be the will of God. You know, we just have to bear up under it. And I'd go to church and I'd go home and I never saw this almighty, glorious, wonderful, powerful God. He never did anything. I never saw Him manifest Himself. I never sensed His presence on the inside of me. And then when the other kids would say that the church is just for sissies and squares, I began to feel like a sissy and a square because it made sense. I want us to see out of the Word of God today that that is not the truth. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The first thing that is wrong with what most people believe about the church is that the church is not man's organization in the first place. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not man's organization. It is the body of the Lord Jesus himself. It's God's organization. It's God's son. It's God's living, vital, flesh and bone body. It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And any church that you may have seen, any body of people that you may have seen, if it is man's organization, it is not the one that Jesus is talking about here. He said, not on man's doctrine, but on the fact that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, on that fact I will build my church. And because I am the head of the church, because I am the solid rock, because I am the Son of the living God, for that reason and that reason alone, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. It shall not. It shall not. Now, people think that the devil is such a powerful being. And yes, he is a formidable foe. Yes, he is a powerful spiritual being. But I want you to know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ of Nazareth destroyed him. Glory to God, he destroyed him! Hallelujah. He destroyed him! Now, you'll forgive me if I get excited. But if you can't get excited about that, then you're already dead. You're already dead. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It says that he was made flesh, that he took upon himself the flesh and the nature of Abraham, that through his own death he might destroy him that used to have the power of death, that is the devil. God's word says that the devil is a destroyed, beaten, defeated whelp of a pup without power, without influence, without ability to prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, my church, my body shall not kowtow to any devil. It shall not kneel down to any demon. It shall not take second place to the traditions or the organization of men. It shall not be subject to the things that govern this world. It shall not be oppressed, depressed, suppressed, or possessed, because it's mine. It's my body. I'm the head of that body. It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus is not coming for a cleaned up man's organization. He's not coming for that kind of a church. The Bible says that he's coming for a glorious church. A glorious church. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Church, this is what we must see as the body of Christ. Your power, the power and the authority of the church, does not rest in the organization. It rests in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the head of it. He's the head of it. That's why he could say, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. He says, my church is not a loser. My church is not a loser. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I want you to know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth did not give himself, did not shed his blood, did not have his body broken, did not go into the pits of hell, did not go into the throne room of Satan and destroy him, only to sponsor a failure. He did not do that to sponsor a failure. Jesus Christ loves the church. He gave himself for the church. He gave himself for a winner, not for a failure. Unfortunately, most of the world has not really seen the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the world has seen the church of Jesus Christ, they would not think that the church is for squares, sissies, elderly people, women, and fruitcakes. Paul said this in the first chapter of Ephesians. Verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, the church,
making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He says, I pray that you'll understand this church. I pray that you will see what God has done for you. I pray that He will give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that you will know who Jesus is, and therefore you will know who you are in Him. He says, I pray for you, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him which filleth all in all. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a triumphant, glorious church, because Jesus is the head of it. And because the church of Jesus Christ is of His flesh and of His bone, it's the body of Jesus. It's not man's organization. If Jesus of Nazareth was a failure, then so is the church. But if Jesus of Nazareth was victorious, then so is also His church. So is His church. Yes, there have been times, and there will likely be in the future, when there will be dark days for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way that there were dark days from gloomy Friday till Easter Sunday. But according to the promise of God, in the same way that there was a resurrection Sunday following the crucifixion Friday, there shall also be a day of triumph for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of how deep the valley may appear, regardless of how difficult the day may be, for the church at large, and for you and I as part of the church. Now, I want you to understand that the church of Jesus Christ is you and is me and is this little one right here. Is as much the church as the great cathedral in Manhattan on New York City. This is the one, you see, that Jesus Christ died for. This is the one that Jesus Christ died for. He didn't die for that great massive cathedral. He didn't die for the rocks and the 2x4s and so on in this building. He died for you. He died for you. And He died for you. You're the church. You and I, we are the ones that have been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. We are the ones that He died to save. And we are the ones who are to live victorious, triumphant lives in this life as well as in the next. God's Word and the Spirit of God today is trying so hard to show His people. He is so concerned that His people know what it really means to be born again. The church of Jesus Christ is a glorious, triumphant, victorious church, not one that is beaten. Not one that doesn't have any power. Not one that doesn't have any joy. Not one that doesn't have any ability to change things. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of that kind of an organization. I don't want to be a part of something that can't influence. I don't want to be a part of something that is a loser. I don't want to be a part of something that's going down in smoke one day. And while we sit here and sing our praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and then we go out the door and the devil takes his 2x4 out and he goes, whoom, like this, and he knocks us tail over 10 cups down the road. And we're going like that all week long until we come back in here the next Sunday. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We go back out again and he whoom, like this. Is that the kind of life that Jesus has purchased for you? It's not the one He bought for me, brother. He bought one of power for me. He bought peace and righteousness and joy in His Holy Spirit. And He's given me the earnest of His Holy Ghost to let me know that it's real. He's given me the fullness of His power on the inside that I might know that what He's done for me is real and I can have it today. Paul wrote Timothy and said that godliness is profitable not only for the next life but for this one. As he is as he is now, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4, 4 says that ye are of God, little children. Ye are of God. Get this. Ye are of God, little children. Ye are of God, little children, and ye have already overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have already overcome them, the word says. Already done it. It's an accomplished fact. You are already overcomers. 1 John 5, verse number 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? God has made you and I to be overcomers. I've shared this with you before, and I believe it deserves sharing again. And it may stretch the word just a little bit, but I think it makes the point. When Jesus wanted his disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee, he did not say to them, "Let us go under to the other side." He said, "Let us go over." Amen. He said, "Let's go over." We're overcomers. Overcomers. He says, "You have already overcome them." Now, what do you do when the enemy attacks? Just because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and his promise is that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And maybe I should say just a word here about the gates of hell. For a long time, I didn't understand what that was. But in understanding the language and the custom of those days will help illuminate that verse for us. It seems that in those days, it was customary for the men of the cities to gather at the gate of the city to make their decisions and to have their confabs. And the governments of the city met at the gate of the city, and they made their decisions and their councils there at the gates of the city. And so when you talk about the gates of hell, Jesus is explaining that the government, the very seat of the government of hell, the very throne of Satan itself, shall not prevail or succeed. That's what that word prevail means. It shall not overcome, succeed against, or prevail against the church. He has already said, because I'm the head and you're the body, because I have already overcome the devil, because I live in you if you've been born again, therefore, you as my church are not going under, you're going over. You as my church, regardless of what comes against you, you're not going down, you're going up. Regardless of what he says against you, regardless of what he does, he will not succeed, he will not prevail, he will not put you under. He can't. He can't. This is a church triumphant. This is a church victorious. This is a church glorious, without spot or blemish, to adorn the person of Jesus. Now, some of you are going to walk out of here this morning, and the devil is going to stand right out there on the street, and as you go down the street, he's going to start swinging his 2x4. And some of you are going to see him there, and you're going to say, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, get out of my way." And you're going right on through in the same joy that you had in here. You're going, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord," see? Some of you, unfortunately, are either not going to understand what I've said this morning or not believe it, or you're going to think he's an emotional old man, and you're going to leave here, and he's going to get his 2x4 out, and you're going to see him there, boom, and he's going to knock you right off your chips, and you're going to spend this week just the same way you spent last. But you don't have to. That's the good news. Jesus Christ has already said that what is born of God already overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh even our faith. Even our faith. Even our faith. If you will release your faith in this word, if you will release your faith in what God says about you, if you will release your faith in what the word of the Lord says about you, then you'll not have to go rolling tail over tin cups this next week. You can go over instead of under. Jesus Christ has provided it for you. He has provided it for me. Bless God, I'm going to have it. Aren't you? It's a triumphant, glorious church. There's no reason for a child of God to be downcast. Paul says, I've been persecuted, but I'm not distressed. He said, I've done everything they can do to me, but they haven't destroyed me. I've learned how to be content in all circumstances, in plenty and in want. Then he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the 14th verse, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in God. Whatever your difficulty may be today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not been born again, if you've not trusted in Jesus for your salvation, the Bible says that you are dead. It says that you are without God and without any hope. You have no hope. Save one. And that is, if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You become part of His church. You become of His flesh and of His bone. You get His life on the inside of you. You get changed, friend. That's step one. If you've already been born again, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says to you today that you can have victory in your life, in every area of your life. He did not say that you can only have victory in this and this and this and this. He says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life is what Jesus came to provide. And if you are not living in it, it's either because you don't know it belongs to you or because you have refused to believe the Word of God and just receive it. Now, you can correct either one of them this morning. Hopefully, you correct one by receiving the Word that's ministered to you, and you correct the other side of it by just saying, Father, I don't understand it, but I believe it. I don't understand it all, but I accept it. It doesn't make all that any sense to me because I've never heard this before, but I know it's your word because he read it out of your word. Therefore, I receive it, and I take it as your holy word. If you're in bondage today from habits, if you are tied down by fear or by resentment or by bitterness, if the devil has brought doubt and unbelief against you, if he is attacking you through poverty in your family, you don't have enough money to pay your bills, no matter where it is that he's attacking, the word says that if you are the church of Jesus Christ, he will not succeed. You're going to beat him. You're a winner. You're a triumphant, victorious winner. And Paul summed it all up in Romans 8:37 when he used these words. He says, Nay, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors in Him who loved us. He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of His might. It's because of Christ in you and Christ in me, Christ in His church, that we are victorious and triumphant. Let us never forget what Jesus has done for us. Let us never lose sight of what He said His body is. Let us never forget that the church of Jesus Christ is not a loser. Jesus didn't die for a loser. He died for a winner. Bless God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless You for what You've done in Christ Jesus. We magnify You for the truth of Your word. We praise and glorify You that the gates of hell, no matter how powerful or formidable, are not as strong as the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we serve, in whom we live and move and have our being. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, including Satan's. We thank you, Father, for a triumphant and glorious church. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
By those who sought to make it socially attractive, neatly organized, and financially profitable. It has been gold-plated, draped in purple, and encrusted with jewels. It has been misrepresented, ridiculed, lauded, and scorned. These followers of Jesus Christ have been, according to the whim of time, elevated as sacred leaders and martyred as heretics. Yet through it all, there marches on that powerful army of the meek. God's chosen people, who could not be bought, murdered, martyred, or stealed, on through the ages they march, the church, God's church, triumphant, alive, and well.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want you to close your eyes just a moment, please.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, or you're not sure you do, and you haven't made yourself a part of this living church, I invite you to do it now. The way you join the church is not by getting a letter. It's not by being baptized. It's not by being born to church family. You don't join the church, you have to be born into it. To be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be born again. Not of man, nor of the will of man, nor of the flesh, but of the will of God. And I tell you how you do that. You just say in your heart, Jesus, I know that you're God's Son. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I want to be a part of your church. I want to belong to you. I want your life in me. I turn away from my sins. Anything I've ever done, Jesus, that displeases you, I turn away from it. And I invite you now to come into my life. I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in. Be my Savior and be my Lord. And I'll live for you. I'll allow your life to live in me. And I'll be yours for as long as I live and beyond into eternity. If that's your prayer this morning and that's your desire, I want you, while every eye is closed, and I want every eye in the auditorium to be closed, if that is your desire this morning, I want you just to raise your hand. No one needs see it but you and the Lord. Just raise your hand and say, Jesus, see me. I want to come into your church today, Jesus. I want to belong to you, and I want your life flowing in me. I want to be born again. Receive me, Jesus. Just lift your hand if that's your desire. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, precious Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. And the most important thing is God sees it. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for your triumphant church. Thank you, Father, for the new birth. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your family and calling us to be your children. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out the riches of your inheritance unto us. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Glory and honor and praises.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Ooh. Would you please take a hymn book and turn to 365?
And when we worship and sing unto God like that, it just gets all standing up on the inside. It's not easy to sit down. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I know that a number of you are here with needs today, and the Spirit of the Lord says in the Word that God inhabits the praises of His people, that He dwells where His people are praising Him. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is also His ability to meet whatever need you may have. I'm going to ask the elder Claire Eskew if he'd come and just lead us before the Lord to have our needs met this morning. Claire.
Isn't the Lord wonderful?
Hallelujah.
He meets every one of our needs. For those that we don't even know, it's in the deepest part of our hearts that He'll meet those needs if we open our heart to Him. And let's come to Him this morning with our hearts open. Let us pray. Oh, praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. It is so wonderful, Father, to praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord. It's hard to get by our praises, Father, to ask for our needs, Lord. We praise you, Father. Glory be to you, Father. Thank you for the pure lamb.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Father, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you also. And Lord, there's a bunch of us here today. A bunch, Lord. So, Father, we come asking, believing, Father. We don't come thinking that maybe you'll hear us or thinking that maybe you're going to answer our prayers, but we know, God, that you hear our prayers and that you're going to answer our prayers because you said in your word, if we'll believe, we'll receive. And Father, we come unto you this morning believing and we're receiving, Father, in the name of Jesus, the pure Lamb of God. You sent him, Father, not to die a death, just so we can stay here and send up prayers that we are not believing in.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for being alive. We thank you, God, for showing us that you're alive.
Oh, praise you, Jesus.
We praise Hallelujah. You on high. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for the congregation, this fellowship that we have here, that we gather in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we're able to sing here freely the praises of God that are on our hearts, Father, that are on our hearts. We're able to worship you freely. We're able to come here Sunday after Sunday and also during the week to hear the pure word of God that you've brought us along, that you've nourished us, that you fed the milk to us, and now that you're going to give us the meat that you have promised by prophesying. We praise you for being a part of this fellowship.
Hallelujah.
For being a part of the body of Christ. Wherever we go, we're part of that Hallelujah. Glorious body without spot or wrinkle. And that we're able to proclaim the word of God. And by telling people about Jesus Christ, we feel good about it. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that, Father. We praise you, Father. Lord, each one of us gathered here today, I suspect, have a need. Some are large, some are small. But praise God, when they come up to your ears, they're on the same level. They're neither small nor great. Because you don't know what that is, because you can answer the small ones of finding a pocket knife to healing cancer with the same voice, with the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That raised Jesus from the dead, you can heal. And you can find lost pocket knives. And you can save. So, Father, the prayers that are in our hearts, not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones, God, we lift up to you again. We lift up to you knowing that you have heard us because you're a God of love. And you enjoy not only the praises of your people, but you also enjoy answering the prayers. And we thank you for that. The deepest prayers, Father. And Father, as we pause right now, just for a minute or two, and as we lift up each one silently to you, we pray, God, that you would move upon us in your supernatural way just to reassure us that you've met the needs, that you're working on needs, that you're going to do it, God, as you have promised in your word. Listen to our hearts, Father, as we pray to you now silently. Thank you, Father, for allowing us the privilege to worship you. And as the church is triumphant, so be we, the church, triumphant in Christ. We cannot fail because of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is impossible. We thank you, Father. Glory always to the name of Jesus Christ. Glory always, Father, to his precious and most holy name. Amen.
Praise you.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord has done something for us this morning, hasn't he? He's ministered unto us his grace and he's ministered unto us his goodness. Some of you are here this morning and you don't really know what God's done to you. Some of you do already know, but Some of you don't understand exactly what the Lord has done to you, but you will see it in not many days. As the days go on, you'll begin to be aware more and more of what has happened to you this morning, the commitments that you've made, the ministry that God has given to you by the power of His Holy Spirit. God is not concerned necessarily with our understanding. He's concerned only with our faith, with our trust, with our simple believing that what He says is true. And He's given us an opportunity also to share in His work. He's given us an opportunity to give of our material and financial means, that the gospel that He has preached to us, that the good news that we have heard might also go to other people, that we might do the work that needs to be done right here in this facility so that it might be available to more and more that come to be fed on God's word, and that it might go out from here into the far corners of the earth so that God's gospel might go forth. Paul said this about the Corinthian church, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. He said they were a bunch of poor folks, but they loved God, and having given themselves to the Lord first, then they gave unto us for His work. Then He said, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. As ye abound in the love of God, in the wisdom of God, in His manifold mercy upon us, Paul says, see that you abound also in this gift of liberality, in this gift of gracious stewardship, in giving unto the Lord as He has prospered you. I feel impressed just to say this morning, before we bring the service to a close, that we're talking today about a triumphant, glorious church. And I just wonder if there may be some here this morning that are not triumphant and victorious in some area of life, and want the church of the Lord Jesus Christ through its head, Jesus, to minister to them today in some area of need. If you're here today and you have a need in your life that you do not believe has been met yet, and you want the church to pray for you and minister to you, I'm going to invite you, as Sally just goes on and plays "He is Lord," as the music is playing, I'm going to invite you to just come forward and just come down here around the front of the platform. Go ahead, Sally. And if you desire to have that ministry, and let several of us lay hands upon you this morning and minister to you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody who's here this morning that desires to have the laying on of hands today for any part, any area of life, any specific need that may need to be met? Just come now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. 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 I'd be very concerned this morning. I'd be very worried this morning if it depended on me to have your needs be met. But it doesn't depend upon me. It depends on the Lord Jesus. He never failed anybody yet. And I'm just going to obey Him as He's told me to lay my hands upon those that are in need. And He said, if I would lay my hands upon you and you would believe Him, that He would meet your need this morning. He knows what your need is. He knows exactly what it is you need. There's not any question or any doubt. And He knows even what you need, those things that you don't even understand yourself.
And as I pray for you, as I lay my hands upon you, and I'm going to pray as the Spirit of God leads. And I will not take my hand off of your head until I know that God has ministered to you. But I don't want you to put your faith in me, nor in my hand. I want you to put your faith in Jesus. Because He's the one, you see, that can meet your need this morning. It's Jesus that meets the needs. Let me ask the elders if they would come, please, also, and assist me.
Hallelujah.
All right. And in the congregation, you just assume an attitude of prayer as God ministers to His children.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.